Madam Mayor and members of council, we're going to continue with the budget presentations from the department heads with respect to the proposed budget for the next fiscal year. I believe that you've all had the opportunity to meet our new fire chief, Mr. Adam Long, so this will be his first opportunity to present his budget to city council. So, Mr. Long.
Being that this is my first one, so go easy on me. We're not asking for much. First, I'd like to give you an update on the construction of the new firehouse. And as of today, and these are the latest estimates that I got from Wachter, the contract called for Wachter to be paid $3,178, $3,178.32.40. To date, we paid them $993,000. $993,419.16 to date. That does not include April's billing. Kwame Group, who is the construction manager, they were contracted at $60,000, and to date we've paid them $43,485.86. We are 47% complete on the new construction of the new firehouse. The estimated date for move-in, I was told, is October 3rd. But in our last construction meeting, which was 2 weeks ago, they said they would be surprised if they were still there working in October. So if we get a number of good days, it could be as early as September. Right now, we have 26 lost days due to weather. But hopefully, with the change, that's going to move things pretty quickly. The goals for the fire department are to complete the construction of the new firehouse and, like I say, move in by September or October. We also are in the we've just hired one new firefighter, and we'd like to hire an additional firefighter to increase the staffing. This gentleman will be considered a rover, and what he'll do is he'll fill in on days when people are either sick, on vacation, or just general off days. This will help to offset some of the overtime that the department has paid in the past. We'd also like to start a new cadet program. The estimated cost of that program will be $25,000. The candidate chosen will be required to enroll in the paramedic program at an approved institution, that is the St. Louis Community College. He or she will be required to maintain at least a 2.5 grade point average. The candidate will work up to 28 hours per week at a cost of $12.54 per hour. The annual salary will be a maximum of $18,254.24. The remaining funds will be used to by the cadet to offset the cost of tuition and books. UCD residents will be given priority for admission to the cadet program. The there have been some cost differences from the last fiscal year. Professional services, the first year of savings for us going back to UCity Dispatch was $104,300. We feel that the gas price for the new engine house will probably be around $4,500. The electricity will be $8,500. Water and sewer will be $900 each. Telephone pagers, $4,495. Office equipment and maintenance, this is an additional cost for the new engine house, estimated to be $3,280. Staff training, $8,700. Office and computer equipment, $1,750. Medical supplies, $13,600. And that includes replacing some of the old AEDs that are in city buildings. They've just about reached their life expectancy. Asking for, 26,800 to replace some of the aging equipment that we have. That would be hose lines and some of the appliances. The biggest outlay will be for the replacement of our SCBAs, which are 8 to 12 years old. They are 30-minute packs, and what most departments have gone to throughout the country are the new 45-minute packs. They also include a device that will allow us to track the movements of our firefighters in a hazardous situation.
Chief, are those the air packs?
Yes, ma'am. They are the current ones that we have are, like I said, 8 to 12 years old, and they have about 30 minutes air supply. The ones we're asking for are 45 minutes, and like I say, they include a new tracking device that will allow us to track the firefighters. Let's see. We're also would like to purchase a gator, which is a which can be used at some of the events. It's a like a glorified golf cart with a stretcher on it. And being that U-City has, you know, street festivals and, you know, the marathons and things like that, these gators will allow us easy access in and out of the crowds. We can have an ambulance station somewhere on the perimeter, and we can use the gators to get into the crowd and get the patient out and get them to the ambulance to be transported. Ask for $180,000 for a new ambulance, and you know, basically that's, you know, the significant cost changes from 2013 to 2014. We've got in the packets that I've given you, we've given you a an overlay of actually what the department has done as far as total runs for the last fiscal year and what the projected runs will be, responses will be for 2014. And what we did with that, we took the last 3 years, added them up, and divided them. So that will give us an estimated number of total calls for the next fiscal year.
Mr. Crow?
I think I'm on the same page as you regarding those estimates, and I'm just trying to determine the fluctuations. Did we simply just recategorize some of these calls? We had, using rescue and EMS, we had 985, then 815, then we dropped 474 just for year date?
Yeah, you know, it's really kind of hard to, estimate exactly how many calls, you know, we'll get because they just fluctuate from year to year, month to month. So it's really just hard. So, like I said, what we do, we just averaged the last 3 years and came up with
it. Okay, I get that, but 985 and 815 dropping down to 474, that's a heck of a drop.
Yes, it is. And like I said, I'm not really sure what the reason behind that was.
Well, does it have anything to do with the bottom that says 12 and 383?
Which page?
I'm on the page that says fiscal year performance summary, performance measurements. And I'm just trying. Really, there's just. I'm just trying to figure out these.
First. Let me see. 2011, 2012. Those are actual, and then in 13, that's to date. That's to date. For 2013.
Well, if that's to date, then what happened with other situations that were 12, and now 383? Same. Category. I'm fine. I'm just trying to get how the numbers are. If it's to date, then somehow we went off the chart on other situations times 300 and some percent.
Sir, I can't answer that.
Okay.
Mr. Walker?
Councilmember, we'll provide that.
Yeah, I'm sure there's just some.
Yeah, we'll provide an explanation as to how you got to.
Yeah, I'll find out.
We'll provide an explanation as to how you got to that. A couple of things that I'd like to point out that I think are important in terms of the fire department presentation. One, you will note that we're asking for two additional positions, which is a significant adjustment given where we've been in the past. We're asking for a deputy chief to assist with some of the administrative responsibilities. Assistant chief to assist with some of the administrative responsibilities, as well as the additional firefighter that Chief Long spoke about.
Mr. Glicker?
Let me piggyback on that, Mr. Walker, because that was one of the questions I had. I know that we're going to increase manpower, body power, from 44 to 46 with one additional fire person. And I saw that we are going to hire an assistant fire chief, and my question to the chief is, why do we need an assistant fire chief? And of course, Mr. Walker just said to handle some of those administrative duties.
Yeah,
thing that comes to my mind, do we need an assistant fire chief to handle the administrative duties?
Well,
please.
In the past, a fire marshal's position was eliminated also. And what he was responsible for was code enforcement, things of that nature. And with that, hiring the assistant chief, that will allow him to take up some of the duties as the fire marshal, because there are a number of meetings and things that have to be attended, training sessions, and it's just really too much for one person. And I'm not really sure how, you know, the last chief was able to do that, because I'm constantly, you know, going here, going there. And an assistant chief will help, you know, in meeting some of these meetings and, again, enforcing the codes. We've been negligent, department has been negligent in their inspections. They've been doing pre-planning. And what we've done, we've coupled with the building division to come up with a way to inspect all of the businesses and places of assembly in the city to make sure that they meet life safety requirements. What they've done in the last few years is just a pre-plan. So we are training our captains on what to look for as life safety goes, so that when they go to do the pre-planning for the buildings, they can make sure that the buildings are in code compliance. So there are a number of buildings out there right now. We're just not really sure if they meet code or anything like that. So that's part of the reason. And just to go back, the estimate for 2013. What was done is these numbers were added up, and I think they were divided by three in order to come up with that 474, and that's what was done.
We'll provide Walker. Additional information. I wanted to supplement the chief's answer to a council member Clifford with respect to the personnel question. No, and that is it's been about 5 years ago when the city's fiscal situation, there was a significant shift there, and at the time what happened was that all departments were directed to make cuts across the board rather than what I consider to be, you know, strategic cuts in areas that could withstand and there weren't their requirements. So the fire department at that time was directed to reduce in terms of the deputy or assistant chief position, the fire marshal position, and that. And I think that as the city's fiscal situation becomes better, that we're in a position that we can look at restoring some of those with respect to our public safety requirements.
My second question, with reference to the cadet program.
Yes, sir.
When we invest in the cadet, what assurances can you offer council that that person will stay with the fire department?
Well, what we're going to ask, if we find a viable candidate, and, you know, it's been pretty hard because there's just not a lot of people that are interested in the fire service, but we'll ask the cadet to sign a contract. And once he signs that contract, he will be obligated to stay with us for a number of years. And if he does not, he will be required to pay back a portion of the money that we spent to get him trained.
Mr. Walker.
Member.
I guess I had a little bit of a follow-up question. Just a second ago, I think in response to Michael's question, you said that the department has been negligent over the past few years. So that's a relatively strong term to use in a public forum.
Well, you know, I mean, I've looked, you know, and at the records, and the inspections just haven't been done. And apparently, and it's because nobody really enforced it. Nobody just did any follow-up. I mean, they were negligent in not doing those inspections. You know, so we are, like I said, in the process of making sure that these buildings are in compliance, because the last thing that we want is for somebody to get hurt or something in one of these buildings, and the city is liable. So we're going to do what we can to make sure that we get back on the right track as far as life safety code enforcement goes.
And on the one question I've always had in the back of my head, I know there's got to be a simple answer to this, but we're talking about this person that says here is going to be a firefighter, not a firefighter EMT. on the program overview I've got, it says we're adding the assistant chief, and then we're adding, am I right, a firefighter?
Yes.
Am I adding a paramedic firefighter? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. It's a requirement that you be a paramedic in order to work for University City. That's a requirement.
Okay. And if we flipped it the other way, if we have so many calls that are ambulance calls, I think this is probably one of these. What do you call it? The golden rail or the third rail? Why is everybody a firefighter and we don't hire just some EMTs? Because what, two-thirds of our calls are not fire-related, but they're EMTs?
Medical. Yeah, they're medical calls. Well, the reason, and I ask that question, why University City hired just paramedics and not EMTs, and I was told that when you're working a patient, depending on what's going on with that person, the paramedic will have to pretty much supervise what an EMT does. And if both guys are EMTs, then they don't have to watch each other. A paramedic will have to watch the EMT.
I think I'm being more sacrilegious than that. I'm asking, why is everybody a firefighter versus a paramedic or EMT if two-thirds of our calls are medically related, not fire-related?
I don't know the answer to that. You know,
I recognize that has repercussions all over.
Yeah, I don't know
everything.
The answer to that one.
It's just one of those questions to me that I know there's got to be something out there that I'm totally missing.
I think we'd have to change the city charter to do that.
Let me deal with these
okay.
questions, okay?
Right.
We'll provide that information to you, okay. Councilmember Crow. Okay. I want to take this opportunity to indicate that. I believe the council is aware, because I've sent out a couple of emails indicating that we're involved in very difficult negotiations with the fire department. They're asking for things that, as the city manager, I'm not prepared to give them. Things like binding arbitration, things like massive salary increases, things like a management union committee that would oversee hiring and promotions. So I wanted council to be aware of that. Also, their political activities. They've included a lengthy statement in their proposed agreement that would clearly contravene our administrative regulations with respect to their participation in election campaigns and working on behalf of candidates and making speeches on in support of candidates, et cetera, et cetera. So some council members may very well be lobbied, if you will, with respect to the firefighter position. And if so, I would ask that you let me know so that I'm not placed in an awkward position as I continue our negotiations with them, okay? Are there any other questions of Chief Long?
Could I ask, what is full staffing in the fire department? We have three crews.
Yes, ma'am.
And each crew has 15. Is that ideal?
It would be ideal to have 15, yes,
15,
ma'am.
So 45. So we'd need 45 firefighters.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And we're, with the new hires, we'll be at 46,
yes.
One of those being a rover.
Yes.
So we will be back to full staff if we approve the budget. After, if people are hired?
Yeah, I think that we were supposed to go to hire. When we make the assistant chief, if that's granted, it'll bump people up. So it'll take us actually to fiscal year 2000, I think it was 15 or 16, to actually get back to full staff. So the plan was to hire Rover this year, this fiscal year. Then in fiscal year 15, hire another one, and then in fiscal year 2016, that will bring us back to full staff. So
Thank
it will
you.
Take us a couple of years to do that.
Okay. Any other questions, Mr. Crow? Okay. Thank you, Chief. Mr. Walker.
Madam Mayor and members of the council, the next presentation will be the Public Works and Parks Department. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you. I've tried to summarize my budget in the red PowerPoint presentation. If you don't have one, I would like to hand out a couple of those. Paulette, Ms. Carr, do you have one? Yes. Okay. I'm just, because of time, I will just highlight some of the main points that Public Works and Parks is going through. So turning to page 2, our basic organization is based, you know, with administration, engineering, streets and parks, the golf course, fleet, and solid waste. And then we also, sewer laterals have become a big-time part of our operation. It's a separate funding source, but we are quite heavy with almost a full-time position doing that work as the infrastructure continues to get older and need repair. On page 3, I just highlighted some of our infrastructure, the things that we are maintaining and having to take care of. One correction would be to 35,000 street trees. That's actually 35,000 trees. I think there's only about 30,000 or less that's in the street. In the tree lawn. But we do have a lot of infrastructure, and it continues to age. On page 4, I have staff. We are continuing with the 57 full-time employees that we have. I believe that we have provided the level of service that the city is expecting. There's still room for improvement, but with those 57 people, we are able to make sure that the work that needs to get done is getting done. I am asking for an additional part-time person. This person has been on contract services for 3 years with us. She came with an energy grant. I would like to move her into full or part-time to be able to act as a project manager. She's been handling the streetlights, and if you've noticed, the streetlight complaints have been down quite a bit. She's one of those people that goes after the issue and makes sure that it gets done. On page 5, I've put my budget, total budget together, not including capital improvements. You will notice on the right-hand side that we've been able to reduce all of our line items, whether it's personnel, contracts, capital, and I'll explain that on the next page, or at least just highlight it on the next page. But what we've tried to do is to fine-tune where things are being charged and what line items are being used, and been able to reduce our budget, but with the 2% increase in personnel, we've kind of highlighted, or if we turn to page 6, one of the things that we did this year was look at the exact number of people that we have and make sure that the salaries match with those people. And if you go back and look in the big book, there's a lot of salaries that the total for personnel and salaries has gone down because we've just, like I said, we've tried to count the numbers and make sure that we're not just choosing a big number to stick in there. Even with the split that we've gone splitting parks from recreation and maintenance. One of the items that reduced personnel a lot was we had 40,000 in golf maintenance when it should have been in golf recreation. But I've listed the things there, and there's just a lot of things that we've done that I think it's the idea of looking at our budget and making sure that what we're using, that we're budgeting for. If we're not going to do it, then we haven't budgeted for it. Probably one of the biggest reductions was in capital.
My question was actually, so when you talked about golf maintenance and then the 80,000 street salaries to leaf collection, is that because we spent more there? It sounded to me like you said the golf maintenance, but we just had a wrong categorization. Does that sound right?
In golf, we had, I think it was $50,000 budgeted in golf maintenance, and 40 of that should have went to golf recreation. And I think if you look at CD's budget in their next presentation, their golf salaries probably went up for part-time, and that was part-time help.
And then the 80,000 street salaries to leaf collection, is that because
we've never charged the street salaries to the leaf collection, and I'm a firm believer in if we're spending it in leaf collection, let's charge it because leaf collection is based on your solid waste bill. And if it's under that fund, then those salaries should be charged there. And I've discussed that with finance and Mr. Walker, and felt that this was the best way to go, to be real in our numbers.
Okay.
And in capital is a big reduction because there's not that many new equipment planned this year. We have a set plan, and every year that fleet changes as to how many dollars are going to be spent. And this year we're just down on fleet. We don't need that many vehicles that are scheduled to be replaced. Turn to page 7, look at the goals. Our biggest goal and the biggest thing I've pushed with Public Works and Parks is that we do our projects, we get them done, we do it within budget, and we do it on time. A lot of projects have been dragging on. My goal this year was to make sure that we've got those projects that you funded done, and we'll discuss that on a later sheet. We are going to complete the American with Disabilities Act. You've probably seen that in the budget as one of the goals for years. I'm going to take the upper hand, and we're going to make sure that we get that plan done so that we have something on record, as we have been required for many years to have. Level of service, Ms. Carr?
Okay, with the ADA, that is a requirement of our city. It's not just a preference.
Correct. No, it is a requirement, and I believe it's any community or anyone with more than 50 employees. And needs an ADA transition plan. That goes for the buildings as well as for the public works that it maintains.
So we have a plan a record of a plan?
We're required to. We do not have that yet.
Okay. And we'll be producing that this year?
Yes.
Okay, because I've noticed that there is a preference, and I'm calling it a preference because I'm not quite sure that when you resurface the streets, you also address the curbs. And I'm not sure that they should really be tied together unless it is mandatory, because that's pretty expensive.
Yes, it is very expensive. And as I continue to ask for additional money, a lot of it has to do with meeting the ADA. The federal government, any federal grant requires, if you're paving the road, the sidewalks, the walkways have to be ADA compliant.
How many federal grants do we have for paving a road?
We usually get one a year.
Okay. And it comprises how much in terms of percentage of our repaving?
I would have to get back with you on that.
Thank you.
I have one question. When you say repair the road or repair the sidewalk or repair what, that you have to deal with the ADA?
And any time that you touch a sidewalk or touch the curbing, you're required to make sure it's ADA accessible. If you touch a building, and you do so much work on a building, you're required to make it ADA accessible.
I think that some of the streets that I showed Mr. Walker a list today of the streets, I think in August, they were given to Wagner, whomever it was. And there are a number of streets that have sidewalks that are askew in some way or another. When you go in to repair those, does that also mean that you're looking at the streets to make sure that they are ADA accessible when you do that?
Yes, we do look at that. Anything over a quarter inch difference, whenever the sidewalks moved a quarter inch, is non-ADA accessible. So it is an expensive proposition, but it is required to get that. I mean, to reach that, at least have the plan in place, and then to start working in the direction of completing all the ADA requirements. There's no time limit that says by 19 or 2020 we have to have ADA accessible throughout the city. It's just that there's a plan that you're moving in the direction. And one of the other goals to highlight is improving the driving range, and there's a lot of detail that goes into that, but it is a big problem. In fact, I just had an email today about needing a second ball picker-upper, that the ground is so rough out there that we're wasting. I mean, balls are being lost in the holes, and we're having kids out there picking them up while they're trying to hit balls. I mean, it's an issue that I think I'm setting as a goal that I would like to see accomplished within the next year.
May I ask a question? Are you still on page 7, or have you moved?
Yes. No, I'm on page 7.
when we talk about implement yearly contract for our sewer lateral, at one time we were doing very well financially with that. Where are we with that now? Are we in the hole, or how are we progressing it with the finances that we have on hand?
We are just getting to the point of breaking even as to the revenue versus the expenses. And what we're proposing, one of the things, the way we do it now is that whenever there's a request for a sewer lateral, we go get three quotes, and the contractor gives us a price to do that particular yard. What we're proposing, and other communities have done this too now, is to have one contractor that would bid sewer lateral 6 feet deep, 10 feet deep, 12 feet deep, and then whatever it is, that's what he would be paid. So this will expedite the work being done. And it would probably be, since it's going to be $500,000 contract, it would be quite competitive. So the prices should be lower. And we're hoping to be able to save money as well as time over this. Looking at page 8, I've just highlighted some of the extra budget items that we are spending this year. The third item down, please note that I've added $70,000 into tree pruning. That's what you added to the contract out of reserves last year. I now have it in operating budget. So that's within our operating budget, the additional money for tree trimming, to make sure that we continue what we started this past year. And the other items you can see for yourself there. Going to page 9.
Mr. Crowe?
Go.
Auto insurance increased because of we have our fleet bigger, or?
I'm not sure. It was just a number that finance put in there, and I compared it to last year and the difference. It was that's what caused that.
Mr. Walker?
I think our finance director can shed a little light on that, our insurance costs.
But our, I'm just more curiosity. Our claim history is red, yellow, green of some sort. Doing okay? Not. I just have no idea.
For the liabilities, I have not seen the results. I only see the results on the medical claims.
Okay. And then the $80,000 for leaf collection, is that that is a shift, or that is more money?
That's a shift. That's where I had indicated it was okay. A labor shift. So okay. When you look at the leaf collection, you're going to see it increase considerably, whereas it was because we put salaries in there instead of just leaving that line blank.
Are we going to see a corresponding?
There's a decrease in streets, yes. Looking at page 9, the significant budget issues, you have that in front of you. Again, we're trying to federal government requiring our signs to be upgraded. We're trying to replace 10% of those signs every year. We've become an MS4 community this year, which has to do with the separate storm sewer system. It's requiring us to work with MSD, and there's going to be certain requirements. Like our garage and our workshops and all of those things are going to have grease traps and all of there's a variety of things that have to happen. But we're the newest community to that MS4. Looking at page 10, our performance measures. I indicated earlier about meeting all of our projects and getting them done. I will apologize that we've not got parking lot number 4 done, as we have held that one up due to some discussions with the businesses about expansion. And then also Jackson Pedestrian Signal will not be obligated this year, and we're asking Tina to transfer that money into next year's capital improvement. And that got tied up because we found out the school owned the road, and by deed, they own that property where the road is on Jackson, and so we years ago that never got transferred to the city, so we had to go through that right-of-way acquisition. And with tree trimming, we were able to get 1,800 trees done this year, which put a fairly good dent into it. Going to page 11, the capital improvement page, to me...
Okay, and maybe this is more of a question for Mr. Walker or Ms. Charmeland. When you don't use funds that were allocated to you for last year or for the current budget, do we reallocate them to you? Are they earmarked? Exactly where are they going? Because to put it in this year's budget kind of confuses me, since we had it in last year's budget. Is it transferred forward?
Mr. Walker?
Madam Mayor, through the Council Member Carr, you may recall last year, and we'll do that this year as well, after the budget is adopted, that we have a certain period of time, we have 60 days to come forward, where we would basically identify those projects that we'll be asking Council to carry over, and they'll be identified in the reserves. The money will go back in the reserves, but they'll be targeted for these specific projects that are carried over, so that Council will approve them in last year and the year before. Council approved those by resolution, but they're essentially designated in the reserves for those projects.
So essentially we're approving them twice. We approved them once for 2013, and now we're saying again, yes, let's move that money and get those done.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Looking at page 11, and those are the projects for capital improvement I am proposing this year, which includes the work at Miller Park, starting the design work for the golf course driving range to be able to get a plan that, because the improvements have been estimated to be about $250,000, and we have to bid that, so therefore we would have to design something and be able to get it out for bids. The traffic signal and the bridge construction, those are grants, federal grants that are 80-20. The street construction basically is about the same budgeting that we had in FY12. Last year you gave us some additional funds for additional street work, but this is the same funding. We're on the same level as we were 2 years ago. And then the bicycle facilities improvement, that's also a grant that is 80-20, and we should be ready to go to construction then next year. The last page...
Ms. Carr?
Thank you. With regard to the Chamberlain Bridge construction, I seem to remember that we passed an ordinance for some kind of funding of that earlier this year. Am I mistaken?
Correct, yes. We received the grant, and you signed the letter of agreement that you would give us the local match, plus, you know, we would do all the paperwork necessary.
So the $111,000 is our match?
That's correct.
Thank you.
In the last page, I've thrown in my unfunded projects. These are projects that are important. Again, you'll notice ADA sidewalks, additional work on Miller Park. Lewis Park, we've got a master study we got a master plan design grant, but we'll get the design done. We'll need some construction money. There's additional street work. We can always do additional street work. There's many places to have that done. But those are all unfunded, and we would appreciate any consideration on that.
Rich, have we done the master plan for Lewis, I mean?
No, we have not.
So this is an estimate.
Yeah, it's for Miller Park. Last year we put $100,000 local match. The Muni grant will give us $300,000 typically.
Okay.
So that would give us a $400,000 project that we could do in next year.
Okay. I just noted it's actually Miller Park.
Okay.
Miller. Ms. Carr?
A couple of things. Number one, we haven't had a CIP study session, but I have gone through the program, and there are a couple of things that come to mind. Number one, we've been treating our, essentially what I'm calling maintenance of our streets, as if it were capital. And by definition, the capital must last more than 5 years, this is your definition, and be cost $25,000. We may want to reclassify that and think of a way to move maintenance, to cover the maintenance on a yearly basis, as opposed to keep it in the capital. I think we talked about it last year, and we said something to the effect, well, if we had a bond issue, that would be a one-time shot. And then, as I seem to remember, Mr. Kraft said, well, how do we maintain it? And I think that, you know, since it doesn't fit the definition of capital. It may be something that we want to think about. And the second thing that I want to bring up is in terms of the parks, I think traditionally University City has addressed one park a year. And that's a way, you know, to keep our funding fairly constant. So I see a couple of things, Millar, Lewis, and also the golf course. So I think we're going to have to prioritize and project that into out years.
Mr. Glickert?
I want to go back to the driving range, Mr. Wilson. the improvements that we have for funding will be for the driving range, or does this also encompass the runoff that has happened because of the driving range on hole number 2 going into Brittany Woods?
It would all be part of that. When we would look at it, we would make sure that we provide a solution that to take care of any issues out there. But it's only with the, I guess, the landing zone is what we are concerned about. We're not doing anything with the driving range, the hitting tees or anything like that. This is just to look at the drainage issues and to be able to grade that area off so that it's the ball picker can do its job.
Mr. Kraft? Mr. Wilson, could I ask one question? When I was on council before, I asked Mr. Ohlendorf if there were a way, and this is just to put in your mind thing, when we are contracting with a tree company for trimming or with a concrete company for a lot of sidewalk work, is there any way that we might be able to do a whole class and offer our residents somehow to be part of the contract, so residents who need to do their trees might somehow be part of our contract to get a better price? Same thing on concrete. I noticed some houses, I mean, concrete's expensive, and some steps are falling down, there are front walks. So I just put it out there, if Mr. Walker, if that's something that could be considered, if there's a way to bring residences into our contracts so that they could get a better rate, and understanding that our staff would be expanding their work to kind of monitor, but I wonder if we could help our residents do some capital improvements.
Anything else
for Mr. Wilson? Mr. Walker.
Madam Mayor, we'll move to community development.
Good evening. You should have before you a summary of the budget. Also, in the interest of time, I'm going to provide just a highlight of the budget with an emphasis on the major changes. The department organization is on the second slide, so we have four divisions, including administration, construction services, and facilities maintenance, recreation, which includes the inside, what we call inside programs rather than the outside, the parks facilities, and planning, zoning, and economic development. You all are probably pretty familiar with our functions, all the code enforcement, planning, zoning, and economic development, again, recreation programs, and then we are charged with the maintenance and operation of city-owned facilities. If you go to page 4, you'll find our major goals and projects for FY14. That's a partial list. You'll note that we want to develop and execute a building improvement strategy for the city-owned buildings. We don't really have one at the time, so some of our projects are emergency in nature and responsive rather than those that have been addressing a capital improvement program for the city facilities. We also want to increase participation in recreation programs. I am excited to report that our revenue and our participation in most of our programs are up this year from last year at this time. We want to increase that, and we want to increase our marketing efforts. We think that's had in part one of the reasons for the increase in participation. We want to continue our comprehensive planning efforts, initiate some minor and major changes to our zoning code, and continue with our work plan for economic development. So those goals have kind of defined our budget priorities and identify our available resources, one-time initiatives, and our capital investments. And some of our major challenges are on the slide number 5. Again, going back to the facilities, we have aging facilities. We need to make significant improvements to our facilities, including City Hall, the community center, the golf pro shop, the police department. That space, as we know, is aging, deteriorating, and has significant problems. It does not meet modern standards. And also, there's some increased need of maintenance of the facilities at the golf range, so we want to address those. Slide number 6 goes over the total operating budget for the department, which is $3.9 million, and it does represent a slight decrease from years before, from fiscal year 13, and that is largely due to changes in contractual and commodities programs. We, as Mr. Walker touched upon earlier, we anticipate that we may need to carry over some of the funds from that were programmed in FY13, specifically the comprehensive plan. We have not yet issued a request for proposals for professional services. We are working with the comprehensive plan committee of the plan commission, and we're encouraging them to try to get something issued this month, but it may be a little bit behind schedule. So we will be coming back to you, as Mr. Walker indicated, to request to carry over some of those funds. If we go to page 7, our operating budget is, I've broken that down by category. We have no personnel changes. We remain at 33 full-time and 29 full-time equivalents in terms of part-time employees. Our contractual budget, again, slight decrease, but that does reflect the change for with respect to the comprehensive plan consultant and the Civic Plaza plan, and those, again, we will be requesting that we carry those funds over. The other change to substantial change is from FY13 is depicted on slide number 9, and that is a decrease to commodities. That's a substantial change, and I just want to address that. We have a home improvement loan program, which we want to evaluate. We have a number of defaults to that program, and so that in itself points to some problem with the program. So we are evaluating that, and we will be coming back to you all with some recommendations for changes to that. And according to your direction and guidance, we will be either requesting that the funds be carried over to this year or making some other changes. The county, as a side note, did transfer their program from a loan program to a 100% grant program in recognition of the high default rate.
Mr. Crow.
Thank you. Can we go through, I appreciate the changes on the commodities and contractual. If I'm going from 13 to 14, and maybe these numbers just aren't supposed to quite match, we have the golf course at $62,013. And then we have the golf course almost doubling at $116,000. And then we have the community center going up. We have aquatics going up just a little bit. And then we have CINCOM going up by almost $100,000. What's happening with those numbers?
In commodities?
No. Personnel.
I'm on
whatever. Mine's not numbered. I'm on operating budget by category, substantial changes from fiscal year 13. And so I'm just trying to figure out if I'm supposed to be comparing the top to the bottom.
Correct.
So the golf course was at 62, and now it's at 116, so that's almost 100%. And again, there's probably a reason for it. I'm just whatever it is. Then we've got the community center slightly up. We've got aquatics up, and then CINCOM up by almost 100.
Yes, I'll get back to you. There's some difference in terms of the way that these were broken out, park administration, and so they've been. If you note at FY13, there was a category for park administration, which now we've eliminated that category and dropped those numbers down into the other categories in recreation. So I can provide a breakdown for you. Any more questions on that particular category? Okay. Going to capital, which is the last operating budget by category, we do have some increases, which primarily constitute improvements to the community center and city hall. Though we've decreased some of the usage at the community center, specifically moving MEAA out of the community center and over to Centennial Commons, we've increased usage of the community center due to meeting space, and that was an unanticipated move because of the inability to use the EOC room for meeting space because of the federal mandate. So in order to have a more accommodating meeting space, we want to make some cosmetic improvements as well as some improvements to our technology at community center, as well as those improvements we discussed briefly to City Hall. So that does reflect an increase to our capital budget. Again, I recognize that we're kind of short on time, so I want to just highlight some performance standards. Again, the revenue that we've tracked to date in terms of the golf course and Centennial Commons has increased. Do want to recognize that. Our building permits have remained steady over the past couple of years, as have our inspections, and we do anticipate some increased major projects in our community. So with that, I will answer any questions you all may have.
Any questions, anyone? Mr. Walker, anything? And with
no,
that,
I believe we're done.
With that, we're done at this time. Thank you.
One request, I guess, and that is dependent upon the length of this evening's council meeting. We've asked for a special session for, you know, council to discuss additions, deletions, revisions, et cetera, to the proposed budget. And ideally, if we can meet, I guess, here to do that. Thank you.